Ron Van Dam, a man, a microphone, and a complete lack of conversational filters. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
What are you doing here? Did you think this through? All right, whatever. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood for that right now. Thanks for coming. I'll be entertaining you for the next 30 minutes. After that, you're on your own. Entertain yourself if you know what I'm talking about, huh? We are going to have some fun today. You and I and everybody else. We're going to have some fun. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we'll pull it off somehow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the best part is I don't even know you. I think that's... We are going to form a relationship within the next 30 minutes, and we don't even have to know each other. We don't have to know about our ugly past or talk about our baggage or anything like that. Oh, you want to talk about your baggage? I have some Samsonite luggage. It has those little wheels on the bottom, and you can roll around your baggage when you're traveling. It's a really nice thing. When I was growing up, they didn't have wheels on the bottom of suitcases because people were too stupid to come up with that concept. But now they have it, and that makes this a wonderful time to live. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is talking about baggage. That's all I got. Have a wonderful day. Take care. Oh, what? Oh, I have 29 minutes left. Well, that's embarrassing. Okay, whatever. How are you? Good to be with you. Whether you're listening to me on a syndicated radio station, that's nice, or on one of those, your phone thing, that little phone thing, or whether you're listening to me on a desktop, on the top of your desk, maybe you're lying on the top of your desk, or maybe you've got a laptop, maybe there's a machine on the top of your lap. I don't know what you're, or maybe it's a tablet. Maybe you've taken a tablet like Moses did. Moses had tablets, apparently. He went to the top of Mount Sinai. There was a chairlift, and he gathered the Ten Commandments. And there was a burning bush, and I don't know what kind of drugs he was on, but that really started something. God, biblical times, thank God. You know, people were born in mangers back then. That's before they had hospitals. I mean, come to think of it, mangers might have been a better idea when you look at the whole... Yeah, anyway. Yeah, people were born in mangers. Hey, where were you born? I was born in the Southwest manger. Oh, that's a nice manger. Did they take care of you? Oh, yeah, good people at the manger. Really good people. What room were you in? I was in the back of the manger. Yeah, where the straw is a little thicker. It was really wonderful. It was great. Who is your doctor? St. John, the Baptist, I think he was. Nice guy. And when you were born, did they have help there? Did they had midwives? No, they were fully wived. They were there. There were three wise men. Well, Mo, Larry, and Curly. I don't know how wise they were, but, you know, you got to have them in the manger. Wow. Great maternity ward in the manger. Oh, yeah, the best, especially the Southwest manger. Really, really, really nice. Nice manger. Nice people. That's what happened back in biblical times. Yeah, people followed each other through the desert. They did. They didn't have GPS. No one knew how to get from one end of the desert to the other. So they just followed people that they thought were really smart, like Moses. Jesus, I think, took him through a couple of tours as well. Yeah, sandal business was really big back then. Yeah, yeah. And everybody in biblical times is complaining about getting sand in their toes. Yeah, I was a problem. But you'd wash them off. You'd wash them off in the Nile River or something like that. It was really great. People used to vacation at the Dead Sea. It was wonderful. You could do the backstroke and not sink or anything. Didn't have a lot of drownings back then because you floated at the top of the Dead Sea. Even though they called it the Dead Sea, which is really stupid because if a lot of people drowned in it, that would be a great nickname for the sea. Don't go to the Dead Sea. Why? Oh, duh. Why do you think they named it that? Oh, you're right. Now, that would have been bad, but they named it incorrectly, so that's not great. And they had all these idols back then, all these people that were larger than life, and it seemed that either you were a follower or a leader, and there was nothing in between. Yeah, they used to idolize people and businessmen who came down golden escalators. It was very, very weird back then, yeah. Very violent time, too. Violence has been a part of our history forever, ever since we can remember being a kid back in biblical times. Violence. It was all violence. It was all people just killing each other. It was just a really rotten time to live. And the life expectancy, I think, was probably 8 years old or something. People were dying of everything because they didn't have any medicine. Everything was like homeopathic. Yeah. Are you my homeo? Yes, I am. You my homeo. Everything, they didn't have medicine. They didn't have drugs like that. The only drugs they had was to get you high so you didn't have to worry about whatever disease you had. People's legs used to fall off. Hey, you only have one leg. I know, I got this disease. Wow. You want to limp through the desert with me? Eh, not today, not today. It's hot out though, huh? Isn't it hot? Yeah, it was a terrible time to live. Terrible. And then they got to medieval times. Woo, baby. Medieval times. Either you were like, you were incredibly rich or you were incredibly poor. Yeah, there wasn't much in between at all. Nothing in between. There was no middle class. There was no class in the middle. No class in the middle at all. And the rich kings would get really sick because they would get gout. They didn't even know what gout was, but they got it. They used to eat horribly. They ate all the fatty stuff, the rich fatty foods. I guess it was like payback. Payback is a bitch, king. And the paupers lived really well because they had to live off the land. They had to eat like the vegetables that they grew and bread and things like that and grains. And they were actually healthier, even though they also got diseases because there were no real efficient mangers to go to when you were sick. Yeah, we've lived in violent times, really. Yeah. And we still do. We still do. We're involved in a couple of wars right now, financially. The colleges are kicking up, man. The colleges, I don't know if you've read the news or if you even care, if you even have a hearing problem or what, but I don't know if you've heard, but the colleges all across the country, the college kids, are very upset about this Israeli thing. They don't hate Israel or anything, but they're just saying, like, stop it. Here's the problem. You get attacked where these people come in, the Hamas people, they come in and they take hostages. They just bludgeon babies and parents and everybody. And you got to retaliate against that. I mean, it's a horrifically horrible thing. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, there's nothing worse than what they did. Well, there are worse things, but, you know, not in these modern times. It was just awful. So the Israelis have to retaliate, and they're still doing it. That's the problem. And they're doing it, and because they're terrorists, they don't. They've, you know, it's the Gaza Strip where innocent Palestinians live, and they are innocent. I mean, my God, they're just trying to live too. But they're all, it's an entire strip of land, entire country of Palestine, basically taken hostage by Hamas and used as shields. How do you combat that? Well, you got to do it a lot smarter in the way it's being done. And this has gone on too long. And they want a ceasefire, and that's it. You have two factions that just want to annihilate each other. Anytime you have a country that says, or a group of people that says, I'm not going to stop until I annihilate the entire existence of the other faction, you got trouble on your hands. And rather than the United States funding Israel, they should be negotiating some type of a truce. I'm sure they're trying. I don't know. I'm not there. But I'm sure they're trying like hell to end this thing. But when you have two incredibly stubborn sides, and they're both incredibly stubborn, you're fighting, it's an uphill battle. And the college kids are saying, look, I don't give a shit. Stop it now. Just stop it. The kids are like talking like their parents, like, all right, you two, you're not getting along. You stop it now. And thank you, kids, for speaking up like that. Unfortunately, the protests have gotten quite violent in this country. So violence is not really the way to go. It's not when you're protesting for peace, violence is not the way to demonstrate that. But I get it. There's not enough of us in this world to say, stop the shit now. There's not enough. There just isn't. If each one of us stood up and didn't take a side and just said, look, I don't care what's going on. You did a horrible thing. You're doing a horrible thing in retaliation. Stop the horrible thing. What, is this going to go on forever? You kids grow up and just stop it now. And no one's going to completely annihilate anybody. You're both going to exist. And you're both going to shake hands. And you're both going to say, all right, I recognize you can exist. Okay, I recognize you can exist. Let's not touch each other. Okay, fine. It's not that easy, but it's certainly something that should be attempted. And most of the world should stand up and say, this is enough. Stop this stuff. Just stop it. It's not that easy. Or it is. Protesting for peace is not a bad thing. And it's been going on for a long time. I guess that started back in the 60s with the Vietnam War. Protesting for peace. I guess the Beatles and John Lennon and many performers, there was an entire decade of protest songs. And songs that had meaning in it, like just give peace a chance. It's starting to bloom again, but not fast enough. And when a president, a former president, or anybody in this country stands up and promotes violence, that should be stopped. It's as bad as yelling fire in a crowded movie theater. You know that story. You're not supposed to do that. It's illegal to do that. You're creating panic. You can't do that. Well, you can't be a politician or a national spokesperson and stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, let's do violence in order to get what we want. You shouldn't be able to do that in a peaceful society. Always able to express your opinion, but not a call to violence against your own. So, that's where I stand. Where do you stand on this? And I know you're saying, Ron, it's a lot more complicated. And I'm saying, no, it's kind of really not that complicated. And that's it. I'm still very angry at our legal system. It takes far too long. People who are presidents or have a lot of money or very powerful can delay things forever with legal motions and paying for top-notch attorneys. Those that don't have money, your ass is in jail within 3 minutes. But not if you're powerful and have a lot of money. Our legal system sucks in that way because it just doesn't recognize that that's a problem. But it is. There's where your protest should be. Okay. My guest today, I recorded this interview earlier. I'm going to play it now. This guest is a major in the U.S. Army. He's traveled the world. He has decided to spend his life for this country. Okay, that's good. You need people like that. He, of course, is saying, join the Army. It's a fascinating life. It's a fantastic life, etc. Fine, good, whatever your opinion is, certainly. That's fine. You can say good things and try to recruit people to do it. If you think that's a good idea, it's certainly fine. But here's my problem. As you'll hear in the interview, he has kids and a wife. They've never lived in any place for more than a year or two at the most. His kids have no foundation. He moves them from place to place with him. He's been in like numerous countries within a short period of time and a long period of time. But his family never has any foundation. They just travel with him, and they're getting great culture and great understanding of the world, but they're getting no friends, and they're getting no foundations in life. They call them army brats, I believe. I don't know. But I'm not into that. I think that that's a little abusive for your own means. But again, in conversation and interview, he's like the nicest guy in the world. I want to be friends with him. He's a good person. But what you're doing in your family, man, makes me uncomfortable. But to each his own. I can comment, but I can't be him. I can't understand him. That's okay. That's what I've learned as I got older. I learned that don't complain about other people because they are who they are. Chill. Not everybody has to be like you. Not everybody has your morals, your beliefs, your religious beliefs, your any kind of beliefs, your moral beliefs, how you live your life, the things that you do, what you're doing, how you raise your children. I mean, some parents, single parents have like 8 kids with 8 different fathers. I mean, is that right? No, it's not. Those kids are not living well. But maybe it works for them. That's okay, I guess. So it's a deep understanding that across the world and even in this country and even in your neighborhood, there are people that you just cannot understand how they mentally do what they do. But it's time to give up trying to understand that because people will do what they do. And it's also time to understand that we live in a world where people are extremely different. Doesn't mean we can't coexist. You don't have to change everybody to be like you, to have your morals and your ways and your thoughts. It doesn't work for everybody. But don't fuck with me, and I won't fuck with you. That's pretty much the mantra here. My guest joins me momentarily, but before we go to our guest, there's this.
Give the gift that says, I love you. The gift that says, happy birthday. The gift that says, get well soon. The gift that says, you're the reason I went into the priesthood. The gift that says, congratulations on not getting indicted. The gift that says, I want to cover you in warm chocolate pudding. The gift that says, good luck in clown college. The gift that says, thanks for removing my unsightly wart. The gift that says, sorry about giving you food poisoning. The gift that says, I'll see you in hell. The gift that says, remember the good times we had in prison. The gift that says, I want to make sweet love to you on the white sand beaches of Rio while your hot cousin watches. The gift that says, thank you for the kidney. The gift that says, you deserve all the best, but this will have to do. The gift that says, thanks, Jesus. Whatever you want to say, you can say it beautifully with a timeless gift from Phyllis Gorman's House of Macaroni Art on Route 94 just past the Rotary, across from Sweaty Palmer's Adult Emporium.
Major Javon Starnes joins us now. He's with the U.S. Army, and we're speaking to him about traveling, which is what one could do with the Army. Thanks for being with us today, Major.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. You're going to be giving us some travel tips, and I assume that you might be called an expert in this field.
Some may say, some may not. It depends on your perspective, sir.
Well, the perspective is that you've been to quite a few places, I understand. Is that right?
Yes, sir. The Army has given me the opportunity to travel the world, many destinations, whether stateside, whether I'm deployed. While I'm deployed, I was able to fly my wife out to Dubai, go shopping out there, see the world for what it's worth. I definitely recommend everyone getting out of the country, getting out of your city and exploring. Every school I've been to for the military up and down the East Coast, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Maryland, it's all been beautiful and quite the experience.
Wow. Where are you stationed right now?
Sir, I'm talking to you out of Daegu, South Korea.
Oh, my God. Sounds like you're next door, practically. That's pretty cool.
Thank you, sir. I tried hard with the communications. Thank
pretty,
you.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a place called Camp Henry. It's in Daegu.
Wow. How long have you been there? Or are you going to be there?
So this is actually my third time being stationed in South Korea.
Wow.
And every time it's the same city. And it's by choice the second and third time because I love it so much. So this time around, I've been here since September of 2022. And I leave next month heading to Germany, sir.
My goodness. Wow. And this is there something in your past that made you want to travel and you know, have this type of life?
It is. Growing up, I didn't travel too much. And now I'm afforded the opportunities to see the world, kind of step back at that worldview and change my perspective. So I've been all over. Yeah. So once we get to Germany, I can't wait to travel in Europe and just see the world from that perspective, sir.
There are so few people that live in the United States that have actually traveled even out of it or been just to one place. And it's interesting how in one's lifetime, they don't get to see the various cultures and the various types of people and what it's like to span the globe. I mean, it's kind of a sad thing in a way.
Yes, sir, it is. That's why I definitely recommend, you know, if you're even thinking about joining the military or thinking about joining the Army, definitely go ahead and get that paperwork started, take that ASVAB, because like the opportunities were afforded to myself and my family, we've seen the world. You know, we're a family of five. I have three children. My son was actually born here in Daegu, South Korea. My firstborn was at, you know, Fort Liberty, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest was born in Georgia.
Wow.
So, and they've actually moved each year of their life at one point in time. So the seven-year-old has moved seven times and the four-year-old had moved four times, so on and so forth.
Mm. How long do you think you're going to continue to do this?
Sir, I am in it for the long haul. Whoa. I am at 13 years now, and I'm going to go beyond the 20. I have aspirations to be a general in the Army, sir.
Well, I don't doubt that those aspirations will definitely come true. And congratulations, and thank you for what you do, and thank you for what your family does as well. They are to be thanked as well, certainly.
Thank you, sir. It's my pleasure, and I appreciate that. That is it's a job in itself, too, just being that military child and that spouse of that soldier.
Sure. Now, what are some travel tips, Major? I guess you can't go to every country, although you go to some places where some people may not necessarily go. Is that true?
They definitely plan ahead, pack ahead. Uh-huh. What helps with that packing ahead is getting some packing cubes. They come in multiple shapes, sizes, colors. Mm-hmm. You can help organize. And the Army has taught me to fold and roll. Mm. So I add that into it, and I can fit my entire family of five clothes and a couple luggages. And then collapsible carts. I think those are huge. That's a big deal, wow. Especially if they fold on both axes, too, sir. Use them for grocery shopping in the airports. And then when we do those long road trips, teacups. So I have little ones, and when they were getting potty trained, those were a blessing. We didn't have to pull over all the time, and, you know, they make them for the little ones, the boys and girls, and they shape them for their body parts, and it's perfect. And there's no embarrassment because they can go right then and there, and we keep it moving down the road, sir.
Wow. You're probably one of the few people that know how to pack anything. I mean, I guess the Army teaches you that, but at the same time, most people don't know how to pack.
My wife, it's a joke. Whenever she tries to pack, she just stops. And if it's a road trip, they leave all the luggage, you know, in the garage for me to put it in the trunk and play Tetris.
Yeah. You know, if you ever, you know, go back to life in the States, and I think a great career would be a packing company where you would teach people and your family teach people how to pack, and you'd be on the top of the charts. You'd be a billionaire.
There we go. So everything I learned in the Army, right?
Yeah, I know. But we need to learn that too. This is a point. Okay. Well, you're certainly a better person for what you've done and what you do, and it's great to have that type of background, because in life, it's all about experiencing things, right?
Yes, sir. That's true.
Yeah, no question. All right. How does anybody find out what you're talking about here? Is there a place to go? Usually every day there's a website to go to do something. What have you got?
Absolutely, sir. Mm-hmm. So what I've got is what I've learned. I learned how to be all you can be by going to GoArmy.com. Mm-hmm. And if you visit that site, Army Possibilities equal over 200 jobs. So there's something there for everyone. If you can do it outside the gate, you can definitely do it inside the military. Chef, cook, driver, whatever there is, your aspirations, mm-hmm. they have a job for you.
Perfect. Do you take a lot of pictures?
I do, sir. I'm actually a photographer.
My God. Self-taught.
Yes, sir. I'm in public affairs, and that trait comes in handy. Public affairs is, you know, we interface with the media, news networks, different things like that, and strategic messaging. So that hobby has become a lifestyle with the military. And if anybody likes to take pictures, definitely try to sign up to be a 46 year if you're enlisted, or be all you can be and be that officer. Decide to lead, which is FA-46, public affairs officer.
So cool. Wow. Not only do you experience it, but you capture it as well. And that's cool. So that we can enjoy them someday, hopefully. Please, would you put that on a website somewhere someday?
Absolutely, sir. We got you covered, sir.
Okay.
Tell the Army story that way.
All right. Hey, he's Major Javon Starnes. Thank you so much for your time today, and continued success to you and your family. Well, that'll do it for me today. And I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new... I was choking on my own phlegm there. That happens every once in a while. Allergies, man. Allergies. We all have them. I don't think I've met anybody recently that didn't have allergies. You don't know unless you bring up the subject, you know. You tap them on the shoulder. Excuse me, do you have allergies like I do? Well, yes, I do. If you have them like I do, then yes, I do. And then we've bonded. We formed a bond of love and understanding. It's the old story. If we embrace what we have in common, then we're good. If we just find what we disagree on and set us apart and focus on that, we're bad. Let's find what we have in common and go with that. It's a better way. All right, I've pontificated enough. Why don't they call me to be the Pope, by the way? I would be so good at that. I'm good at public speaking, except for the phlegm in my throat. But I think the Pope has that too. I'm good at public speaking. I look good in a robe and a hat. And I think I could do a great job there. I really do. But still not. I sent them a headshot of me. Figured that would be enough. You know, over 30 years in radio. Figured that would be definitely good enough. Did they call? Did they send a note? Thank you for your resume. We'll let you know. We'll send you a smoke signal if we're interested. Nothing, nothing, nothing like that. Nothing, 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 nothing. Am I bitter? No, because I've found love. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Until then, I wish you peace.